Turn with me, please, tonight to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel according to Luke. And we'll turn to the chapter 7, please. Luke chapter 7. And we're going to commence reading at the verse number 11. It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, speaking of our Lord, one of his many journeys. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, Arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. Amen, and may the Lord bless this public reading of his precious word to each and every one of our hearts this evening. With our Bibles open before us, let's unite our hearts in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy help and for Thy hand thus far in this service. And Lord, even now as we come to the Gospel part and the Gospel preaching, Lord, we ask Thee for help. I confess in and of myself I am nothing. Lord, empty me now of self and of sin. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord, fill me full of Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, speak this night. Send Thy Holy Spirit into this service to move from seat to seat, to strive with soul after soul. And Lord, those that are cold at heart, those that are still out of Christ, those that are strangers to God tonight, Lord, we pray that Thou wilt move and Thou wilt do a work in their hearts. Break down the barriers, break down the hindrances, break down the excuses. Lord, may the devil not have the victory tonight in this service, but rather may there be sinners crying unto Thee for salvation. Lord, hear and answer our prayers now, we pray Thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, which we have read tonight in Luke chapter 7, depicts a scene which is as relevant today as it was in the days of Christ. We find here in Luke chapter 7 that the Lord is approaching a city called Nain. This city was found and was located and still is in the boundaries of Issachar. Very, very close and just south of Mount Tabor. It is a city which is only mentioned once in the Bible. But in those days, whenever Christ was alive and walking upon this earth, this city was a full and a thriving city. This city was one that was full of trade, hustle and bustle each and every day. The gates were open, the people came and they went. Much trade, much business was done in and around this city. But yet on this occasion, things are different. This occasion we find the city, and we find in this chapter which we have just read together, that there are three tales which are in this city. Three tales which are in this city. The first tale which we want to look at tonight is the tale of death. If you look with me at the verse 12, it says, And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ as he approaches this city. He comes upon a scene which to many of us here, if not all that are gathered together, is a familiar sight. You can think back over your own history and over your own life. There has been those times and occasions when each and every one of us has stood beside an open casket. Each and every one of us has stood and walked behind a coffin and behind a hearse. Each and every one of us has went to the graveside and has laid the mortal remains of a loved one. Has watched as that casket is being lowered into the ground. Each and every one of us has said our final goodbyes to those mortal remains, and we have walked away from the graveside. Why? Because death is all around us. And so it was in the days of Christ. So it was in Bible times, right from Genesis, the first book of the Bible, right throughout the entire Scriptures, right till this very day in which we live. Councils don't put out plan and permission for graveyards for them to lie empty. No, death is continuous. Every single day, the undertakers are busy in our land. Every single day, right across the world, people are being laid into Mother Earth. This scene in which we find in Luke chapter 7, the very poignant scene, we find that the deceased on this occasion is a young man. This young man is the only son of a woman who is also a widow. See, we even learn just from that one verse that death has no respecter of persons. When the angel of death comes, he doesn't just come to the elderly. The angel of death passes into a house and a life is extinguished. They are not always 70 years old or 80. Rather, we can walk into any graveyard up and down our land and you will find the headstones of people, yes, that lived to 100, 90s, 80s, 70s, but sadly we have to keep heading south, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s, children, babies. Death is no respecter of persons. This funeral procession that day, you think of that poor widow. That woman doesn't tell us her life's history. We don't know what age her husband died at. We don't know how long they were married. We don't know their entire history of how she grew up, how she met her husband, the joy that they had with their young child. We don't know if the husband died from an illness or died instantly. But you can imagine whenever the husband passed away, obviously there is that time of initial grief. There is that time of hardship immediately for the wife. She has lost her soulmate. She has lost her best friend. But humanly speaking, once that initial period of grief has passed, you can imagine, humanly speaking, we all would do the same. She plowed everything into her son. All her efforts, all her strengths, every single penny she had, she would be putting him through the best education, the best of clothes, making sure he was eating the best of food. Everything she could do for him. All her efforts. Her life was now around her son. Her life consisted of ensuring that he had the best and he was healthy and he was learning and everything she could do, she was doing for the child. And yet, no matter how much effort, no matter how many hours she put into the child, he still died. See, men and women tonight, there is no such thing as the elixir of life. There is no such thing as a magical medication you can take. Doesn't matter if you eat your five a day, I have to be honest, I don't. Because I'm convinced someday they'll come out and say, no, that was rubbish, because they do that with every other discovery they make, so every five a day, maybe I'm wrong. I don't eat my five a day. If you do, brilliant. My wife is trying to force me to take as many vitamins as I can to try and stay healthy. But no matter what you take every day of your life, whether you're on vitamins, whether you're on iron tablets, whether you're on all the herbals going, there's still coming a day when you will die. There's still coming a day when you will breathe your last breath. And you will close your eyes in this life. Death comes to us all. And this woman, she put all her efforts, her life completely focused around her son, and yet he was gone. Romans 6, in verse 23. The wages of sin is death. See, it didn't matter what this woman did. Ultimately, in her heart and in her son's heart was sin. And friend, here tonight, every single one that is born into this world is born in sin and is shapen in iniquity. The sins of Adam and Eve that were there in the garden when they ate the forbidden fruit, they've passed from generation to generation. Each and every child that is born into this world is born in sin. And because of the sins which are in our bodies, therefore comes death. And personally and humanly speaking, we can't do a thing about the sin in our lives. In and of ourselves, we can't eradicate it, we can't control it, we cannot disperse of it, we can't cover it over. And the sin will bring death. James 1 in the verse 15, sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so the Lord, as he came near to this city, He came upon death. Oh, the devil might have promised and promises men and women up and down this land. The devil will promise you anything and everything. Oh, he'll promise you a long life. He'll say, you don't need to be saved now. Get saved when you're old. Live your life. Enjoy it. Go here, go there. Spend your money. Go and tour the world. See all the amazing things and all the amazing places in this world. But don't get right with Christ. You don't need that yet. Oh, the devil will tell you, oh, if you get saved, you'll have to give up this pastime. You'll have to give up that. You'll have to start and every Sunday you'll have to go to church. You'll have to, oh, you'll have to give up so much in your life and all those great things which you enjoy doing. The devil will tell you, you'll have to give them up. The devil will never tell you that whenever you die, you're going to go to hell. He wants you there, so why would he tell you the honest truth? The tale of death was in that city. And then notice with me, secondly, not only the tale of death, but then in the verse 13, you'll find the tale of compassion. Verse 13, it says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, weep not. See, here as the Lord comes towards this city, imagine it in your own mind, this city, the gates are open, and there's a massive big crowd is walking down the road into the city, and at the front there's a man called Jesus. And then imagine coming out of the city, there is another great crowd of people. And they're carrying a coffin of a dead young man. You know, by this stage in Christ's ministry, his fame was starting to spread. By Luke chapter 7, if you line the four Gospels side by side, by this stage, sermons had been preached. Miracles had been performed. Lepers had been made whole. Their leprosy completely eradicated. Men with palsy and with withered hands had been healed completely by the power of God. That's why when the Lord came towards the city, the great crowd was with him. Day after day, wherever Christ went, the people came. They came to hear him preach. They came to see him do the miracles. And yet, as the Lord walks into this city, not one of that family or not one of the gathering of friends or neighbors, not one of them ran to Christ. You don't see the widow, you don't see the neighbors, you don't see any of the friends running to Christ, knowing who he is and saying, Lord, we know you've done amazing things. Lord, could you not do something for this woman? Nobody runs to Christ and says, Lord, this woman's already lost her husband, now she's carrying her son out. Lord, is there nothing you can do? Not one person goes to Christ. But yet, in his love and his compassion, the Lord takes a step towards them. How often through the Scriptures? You can start in Genesis, you can work your way through book after book, you will see the love and the compassion of God time after time towards mankind. You think of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 begins with the words, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. I earnestly believe whenever Christ, it says here, and when Christ saw the multitudes, I earnestly believe he didn't just look and see a great throng of people and go, oh, I need to get out of the way before I'm stampeded. No, Christ sees the hearts. Christ, as he saw the great multitude there in Matthew 5 walking towards him, he saw the hearts of every single person. He saw those who were coming towards him who were mourning for loved ones, and that's why he said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He saw the hearts of those with burdens and persecutions upon them, and he cried and he prayed and he preached, blessed are those that are persecuted for my name's sake. See, the Lord has such love and compassion that he always cares for the people. Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them. You can even go right back to Genesis. Genesis 16 in the verse 13, Hagar cries out, thy God seest me. A woman who was nothing more than a slave, than a servant girl to Sarah. In those days, a slave was nothing. A slave was for the mistress or the master's pleasure, whatever they wanted. That's what happened to them. If they wanted them killed, they were killed. If they wanted them discarded, they were discarded. But yet, in the love and compassion of God, Hagar was able to testify and to cry out, thy God, seest me. And friend, here tonight, that love and compassion which Hagar experienced all those years ago, is the exact same love and compassion which the Lord is showing here to the widow of Nain. The love and compassion which the Lord showed to the widow of Nain is the exact same love and compassion which is on offer here tonight. Take a moment and think about your own life. Right up to this very minute. You think of how the Lord has spared you year after year. Think of how the Lord has undertaken in your life. Think of the health that you have been afforded day after day. You've been able to get up out of your bed. You've been able to go to work. You've been able to eat food every single day. You've clothes upon your back. Those are all blessings from God. They're called temporal blessings. You think as well of the compassion and the love which the Lord has showed towards you in that you're under His word tonight. But sadly, there is millions across this world, and this is the Sabbath, and not one of them is in under the preaching of God's word. And yet the Lord, in His mercy and His love, He has afforded you this opportunity to come to Newton Abbey tonight and to hear that there's a God that loves you. To hear that there's a Christ that died for you. To hear that you have sins in your heart which need to be forgiven. To hear that in and of yourselves you cannot save yourself. You are lost and you're on your road to hell. But yet the Lord is standing ready and He says, come to Me. All ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What love. What compassion. You think of the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ was in this earth and walking upon it. He came to this earth to save sinners. He came to this earth to right the wrongs of this people which walk upon this earth. He came to this world to go to the cross to shed His precious blood for our sins. He could have left us in our sins, but yet God in His mercy sent His only Son. And His only Son went willingly up the road to Calvary. And He allowed Himself to be crucified. He allowed the nails to be pierced through His hands and through His feet. And before that, He allowed the Roman soldiers to pierce His brow with the thorns and for the blood to flow down His head. And He allowed them to scourge Him, to mock Him, to beat Him, to strip Him naked and to treat Him horrendously in the court. And He allowed the Pharisees to stand there at the cross and to mock Him and to make fun minute after minute. And yes, He could have sent 10,000 angels. And the Lord Jesus Christ could have come down off the cross and went and defeated every single one of them and went to glory and never give a thought for us, but He didn't. Why? Because He loves us. Because He has so much compassion for us that He stayed upon the cross. And He endured 3 hours of darkness whenever God the Father poured all the punishment upon His only Son. And in those 3 hours of darkness when Christ was upon the tree, all communication with God the Father was completely eradicated for those 3 hours. And for 3 hours He endured punishment which we have absolutely no idea what it's like. At the end of those 3 hours of darkness, He cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Why? Because of the love and the compassion which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, in this chapter in which we read, we see the compassion and offer and highlight it once again. He stops the buyer as it comes into the city, or as he comes into the city. He says, young man, I say unto thee, arise. He couldn't leave that woman. He couldn't pass her by. Tale of compassion. And finally, notice with me the tale of life. Verse 14 and verse 15, and he came and touched the bier. And they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. He that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Can you imagine the transformation? One minute, the widow and the family circle and the neighbours and everybody that was gathered, they were all there mourning. No doubt the tears were flowing down the faces. No doubt the anguish and the grief that was upon that gathering that day was a great sadness. It was a young man. And yet in an instant, whenever the Lord came, gone was death, gone was the evils of death and the darkness of it. And suddenly life had come back into the young man. Why? Because the Lord had stepped in. You know, it doesn't tell us what happened with this young man. It doesn't tell us how he died. We have no idea whether this was a tragic accident or was it an illness that was passed on from father on to son. We have no idea. But we can be certain, whenever this young man passed, just the same as whenever the father passed, that no doubt doctors were called. The physicians, the surgeons of that city, they were called to the house. They were called to wherever the tragedy had taken place. And those doctors no doubt came, but they couldn't do a thing. They couldn't bring the man back to life. They couldn't take away the illness or whatever the injury was that caused the death. They couldn't heal those men. But yet the Lord could. Friend here tonight, it doesn't matter who you go to in this world. It doesn't matter who you take your medical advice from. It doesn't matter even who you go to and they say, yes, your sins are forgiven. It doesn't matter if you go to confession. It won't do you a thing of good. For the truth is, there's not one man or woman in this world that can save you. There is not one human being that is alive in this earth today that can take away your sins and can guarantee you a place in heaven. But I can stand here tonight and I can point to one that can. His name is Jesus. And the Lord came and touched the bier. The dead young man was alive. Oh, what happiness came in an instant to that widow. One minute she's mourning her son, the next minute she's holding him in her arms and he's breathing and he's hugging her back. One minute the tears are tears of sadness, the next minute they're tears of joy. Why? Because Christ had come. And friend, here tonight, you let the Lord into your heart tonight. You pray the sinner's prayer. You say, Lord, have mercy upon me. And you will be like this young man. The dead will come to life. Praise God. You accept the Lord into your heart tonight. You're alive forevermore. Oh, it doesn't matter what the world or the flesh or the devil may do to you. You have Christ in your heart and you have the blood upon your heart. Praise God, you're protected forever and one day you will be with the Lord in heaven. This young man, dead, but miraculously brought back to life by the Lord Jesus Christ. John 11, verse 25, it says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Friend, young person, older person here tonight, spiritually speaking, we are in a coffin and we are dead tonight. We are on the road to hell if we are still in our sins. We are being carried to hell tonight in a coffin. But praise God, there's hope. His name's Jesus. And He can save you from the deadness. He can save you from your sins. And He can give you life everlasting. The city of Nain, which this great miracle took place at. Yes, we read the verse there in verse 16 and how they came. There came a fear in all and they glorified God. As we mentioned at the start of this service, this is the only time that this city is ever mentioned. You never read of the Apostle Paul going to this city. You never read of Peter or John or any of the other disciples ever returning to this city. This city is never mentioned in any of the letters which Paul sends to the different churches. This city of Nain, which was once a large and bustling city, which was once filled with trade and much activity, 2,000 years later today, it is but a tiny village. It is run by fanatical Muslims. A place where the Lord came. A place where the people saw the Lord do an amazing miracle in raising this young man back to life. And yet ultimately, they rejected God. Friend here, if this is your one and only opportunity at hearing the gospel, this is the only occasion when you will hear that there is a God that loves you and a Christ that died for you. Are you going to reject the Lord? Are you going to walk back out through the doors tonight saying, no, I'll leave it for another time? Oh no, preacher, I'll sort it myself. I don't need the Lord. Let me tell you, friend, it's the only way to move from death to life. I remember a number of years ago when I used to teach Sunday school, On Sunday I did like a practical lesson with the children and I brought 3 hula hoops with me. And those rings, the hoops, I set one on the ground and I put a piece of paper in and I put the words death. And then I put another hoop over here and I put the word life in that one. And I said to the children, right children, one after another, try and get from death up to life. And the age group that it was and the height that those children were, I knew how far to put them apart. And all those little children, those 7, 8-year-olds, they all sat like this and they sprang as best as they could and they jumped as far as they could. But see, from death to life, they never made it once. And I took the 3rd hoop and I put it in the middle and I put the words Jesus Christ in the page and I put it on the ground. And every single child was able to jump from death, go through the Lord Jesus Christ and get to life. And friend, it's that simple. To get from death to life, all you have to do is go through the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang the hymn earlier, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Tell me, have you the blood upon you tonight? Can you honestly say in your heart tonight, I have the blood. I've moved from death to life. I've came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've prayed the sinner's prayer. Can you honestly say I've came to the realization that I was a sinner who needed a Savior? For if you're here tonight and you can't say that, then friend, you're in the coffin and you're being carried to hell tonight. And you have no hope. And in off yourself, you have no hope. Praise God, there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ if you but come. Come to Christ tonight. Come and have your sins forgiven. Come and pass from death unto life. Oh, come before it's too late.